You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Yeah. What's up? Welcome inside Studio 34. FST Overtime right here on the network. Fantasy Executive All In Kid, Jake Seeley, Wall Street, Matt Medica. Coming up on the program today, the homie Emory Hunt joining us to talk about some rookie running backs. Well, running backs that will be rookie running backs getting ready for the NFL Combine. Dudes not named Saquon Barkley. Got to introduce ourselves to the rest of the field. We'll go Rotation Nation, talk a little Baltimore Oriole pitching staff.
Oof, that's going to be a rough one.
We got to start right at the top where, you know, we start Rotation Nation, try to get through all the rotations before we get to opening day.
No, I like it. I like the premise.
This is why they brought me here.
The top two in that rotation are intriguing.
But. So we'll discuss that. We'll break that down. Do a little ADP desk. Profiles in Black History, Darryl Dawkins. Hopefully he don't get in trouble the same day that we do the profile on him like Draymond Green did last week. All In Kid, Jake Seeley, good morning. What's up with you, my man?
What's going on, Corey?
Ain't nothing much, chilling. There's not too much going down last night. Did you catch any of the Cavs in the Wolves?
I don't know why you keep asking me. Yeah, no.
I thought maybe
I'm not watching NBA. I'm playing NBA, and kudos to FanDuel and Yahoo and DraftKings for canceling or refunding the events for after what happened with the floor.
They did refund it.
Oh, they did want to refund it? At first, did they do
it? I'm assuming DraftKings, Yahoo and FanDuel. I didn't play DraftKings. I played FanDuel for basketball. But FanDuel did. So I'm only assuming DraftKings followed suit if both of them did.
Yeah, because I was seeing some people really aggravated in my timeline when I got back.
A couple years ago that happened. I think I had a loaded lineup that night. The Spurs was in, I believe, Mexico City. And something in the arena caught fire. And if you had any Spurs, or I believe they was playing the Thunder or the Rockets, something that you had any of them in your lineup, you just lost. And that was a night when everybody was heavy on the Spurs. Team was a little bit younger then, too. So I figured it wasn't going to be no, wasn't going to be no refunds for that. Because it's kind of like a play-at-your-own-risk thing when something like that happens. But that's good that they did get that situation squared away and taken care of, especially that it happened after the lineup lock. Matt Medica, what's up? You were talking about the Olympics earlier. You seem to be into this thing.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be I'll be watching tonight.
Tonight's the opening ceremony?
See, I thought it was Friday night. That's the schedule I'm not really sure of because I know there's some, I think, figure skating tonight, a couple other things. But I thought the opening ceremonies were Friday, but I don't know. My South Korea clock has not been set yet.
Well, that's good to know right there. So
I found an interesting fact, though.
It started last night.
I don't know. I don't know nothing.
I was eating steak dinner last night.
So. I didn't even know it started last night. I don't know nothing too much.
Yeah, the mixed doubles prelims.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We talked about
curling. It was the
curling.
That was the skinny Andy Reid guy?
Yeah, the curling doubles.
That's on again tonight, Corey. You can check it out tonight.
Oh, I'm really going to. I can't wait to sit down and watch the curling, the unisex curling.
I did find out an interesting tidbit on our Black History profile player today.
Oh, Darryl Dawkins? We'll save that. So that's cool. I didn't know. I haven't even looked anything up yet, to be honest with you. This is the guy I was going to go
with. I
know
who we were talking about today.
Darryl Dawkins. Dunking machine, Darryl Dawkins. So everybody do your Darryl Dawkins research. Is it T.I. Thursday? I think it's T.I. Thursday. It's not Tip, though.
It's
Thursday. So T.I. Thursday rolling. Hey, take your time, Chris. We've had some changes. We'll get that done. Fantasy Fact, I'll tell you about that a little bit later on. It's FST Overtime right here on FNTSY Radio.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
All right, there we go. That sounds more like it. T.I. Thursday right here, FST Overtime. Got the homer Emory Hunt on hold. Emory a little bit upset with me because I told Emory to come on the show at 10:10. I thought we were still doing the old hour, you know what I'm saying? But now it's 11:10, so...
I had you back on that.
Thank you for having my back, Matt. He'll be all right, I hope. We'll try to smooth it over with Emery, because we're going to need Emery.
Is he at the Spring Hills Suites?
We're going to need Emery as we get closer and closer to the Combine, NFL Draft, and stuff like that. You know Emery is all over the country scouting these dudes and stuff like that, give us the right information. But first, I got something, a tidbit I just found out. All in kid, Jake Seeley. I wanted to know if you knew this, that Saquon Barkley is the nephew of Iran Barkley. Jake, did you say who's Iran Barkley? The boxer. How come we can't hear Jake?
We can't hear Jake.
I can't hear
him. I was reading his lips, though. We got the all-in kid?
I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. There goes the all-in kid. You remember the boxer, Iran Barkley, Jake?
I have no idea who that is.
All right. Well, let's bring in Emery Hunt, the czar of the playbook, Emery Hunt. First, Emery, are you upset with me, E?
Nah, you just ruined breakfast for me.
I ruined breakfast for Emery. Trust me.
Emery was eating good at Senior Bowl week. I was liking all those pictures.
I know Emery eats good, so I'm quite sure I didn't ruin breakfast for E that much. E, my man, what's going on? So did you know about this thing with Iran Barkley and Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, I knew that they talked about it. I wanted to say early part of the season.
Okay, the early part of the season they spoke about it, You know who Iran Barkley is, right?
Right, the boxer.
The boxer, that right hand was murder, E. Not much. Emery does not have much to give us on Iran Barkley.
Let's go to the back.
So let's go back. Let's go talk some running backs, E. Combine coming up. They've announced the guys who are going to be attending the Combine. I want to talk about some of these lesser-known running backs. And I want to start with the kid out of Oregon, Royce Freeman. What's it about Royce Freeman's game? How does it translate to the NFL?
I think his game is probably a little bit underrated right now because of when you look at being a dynamic player, that's not the game, but every time you watch him play, he consistently gains yards. So it may not look flashy, but it's going to be effective. That's why I think how he tests here will start to open some eyes to a lot of evaluators, but he's a pretty good running back.
All right, well, let's talk about one that I think is better than a pretty good. I think he's actually one of the top five in the draft, but let's see what your thoughts are, Emery. And whether that's Ronald Jones or USC.
Yeah, Ronald Jones has tremendous speed. You know, the thing with Ronald Jones is that you want him to develop a little bit more patience because he tends to run into a lot of either blockers or defenders. If he slows down his process a little bit more, he can rip off even more long runs because he does
have
the home
run.
Hold on,
Emery. You tell me he's got Trent Richardson-itis?
No. He has a little bit of Melvin Gordon-itis as far as the thing is, the difference between Melvin Gordon and Ronald Jones is that Gordon has a little bit more patience, so he has the ability to make that move prior to running into the back of a lineman or crashing into a defender, because if you find yourself doing that a lot, speaking from a running back's perspective, you won't last long because you're going to knock yourself out the game. You're going to find yourself not being able to finish games. You're going to have nagging injuries. So you want to see him become a little bit more patient, a little bit more elusive. And he doesn't have to be Barry Sanders, but you can't keep crashing into people.
Hey, Emery. Let's go out west. Rashad Penny, what are your thoughts on him? What's your breakdown you got for us on him?
I'm a big fan of Penny's game. I have been since last year when he was just a spot guy and kickoff returner. You saw the speed. And just full disclosure, when they allow you to return kicks, that's letting you know that you have speed. When you return punts, that shows that you're a little bit more shifty. And so San Diego State had him return the kickoffs, which means he has a ton of speed. And you saw this year, going for over 2,000 yards, and it's easy for him because he's so explosive, and it doesn't look like he's running fast, but you never see him get caught from behind, and he's always ripping off 60 to 70 plus yard touchdown runs. And when teams know that he's getting the football, like San Diego State did, they ran the football, I want to say 65% of the time, and teams know that he was their guy, and they still couldn't stop him, and that shows that the type of value he has as a prospect.
Talking with Emery Hunt, the czar of the playbook. You can follow Emery on Twitter at what's the Twitter, E? My bad.
FB game plan.
At FB game plan. Thanks,
ball game. F ball game plan.
F ball game plan. Thank you, Jake. I appreciate that all in, kid, Mr. Jake Sealy. So, Emery, you all over the country, Senior Bowl, Shrine Game, scouting these players and stuff like that. Got a full database of tape that he look at. And so Emery does a good job breaking these gentlemen down. Obviously, E, everybody talks about today's NFL and how dynamic a talent Le'Veon Bell is. And when you look at the college game, a lot of people compare what Kerryon Johnson does similar to what Le'Veon Bell has. What do you think about – is Kerryon the second best running back in this draft?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think he's a good player. I can understand why people like his game because he does tend to make that guy miss. But to me, he's a little bit too long-legged. And he's whatever his height is, I want to say three-quarters of that is all legs and very short torso. So it's going to take him a while to really break down a defender. And his moves are over-exaggerated because of his long legs. And so I think what he does well, he's probably best suited in a spot role as opposed to a starter. I just don't see the fluidity in this game that you saw from a Le'Veon Bell, even when he was 240, 250 at Michigan State.
That's interesting.
All right, Emery, I want to go to a school that we don't really talk about that much when it comes to prospects, especially running backs, at least for some while here, that have been that productive. Might not even be on your list or recent, but I'll see here. Josh Adams, Notre Dame, Fighting Irish. The guy's averaging close to 6.6 yards per carry for his career, 6.9 last year. I watched a ton of him, and I'm watching him saying, I still don't understand how he gets these big runs all the time. Is he just a product of the offensive line? And even so, he's not even used that much in the passing game. So what are your thoughts on Adams?
I think he's one of those guys that will get overrated because of his speed. And acceleration, but when you're watching the games, you're seeing a guy that's just running through gaping holes. And so if you're able to run through a gaping hole at full speed, of course you're going to break long runs. Now, ask him to make a move, and he'll die. You know, so that's the thing. You got to be able to move laterally in order to be effective. And if the hole isn't there, he can't create. And in this day and age, you got to be able to create because everyone around you is a tick faster, a tick quicker, and if you can't make a guy miss or make a lateral move to get to a hole, you're dead in the water.
Hey, Emery, everybody's got Barkley at the top of the draft board, but how much of a difference is it from him to Geis? Like, how far would you see that droppage go? How many picks later do you think it's going to be? You think it's going to be a widespread, or somebody's going to get back in on the running back?
I think, for me personally, it's a big gap between Barkley and Geis. Geis is one of those guys that a lot of people will love because he runs into defenders, you know. But here's the thing. If you got a chance to score and it's between you and the defender and you decide to crash into him, that's, you know, I need you to score. I need you to make that guy miss and score. And Barkley is the type to make that guy miss and score. And so, again, Geis is a good player. He's a starter in the NFL, in my opinion. I would just rather the guy that can make a guy miss and break a long run as opposed to a guy like Geis that he's gonna be a fan. His game is gonna yield itself to being fans of guys of yesteryear. Like, oh, he runs physical, he runs tough. But he also will not finish the season or miss a couple of series in the game or things like similar to what he did at LSU when he became a full-time starter. So he has to be a little bit more cognizant of when and where to take a hit or when and where to go out of bounds, because otherwise you're not going to see him maximize his full potential like a guy like Barkley can.
All right, real quick, Emery, 30-second answer. Ito Smith didn't get the invite to the combine. Do you think he's still going to make an impact in the NFL?
I think he's a spot guy. I think the guy to keep an eye on is Fordham's Chase Edmonds because he was injured this year for the first time in his career and was injured the first week in the Shrine game. But in that one day of practice, he definitely raised some eyebrows. If you go back and watch his tape, this guy has everything that you want at the running back position. I think he's going to be a steal and going to shine at the combine.
He didn't make the combine. They didn't invite him, right?
No, he was talking about something.
You know, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody's man. Yeah, you know, Emory was not going to leave off the radio without giving us a player from Fordham.
Fordham. Unfortunately, we didn't get anybody from Southern.
Yeah, I know Fordham. I didn't even know Fordham had a football team.
You guys are missing out on some great football, man. Guy Chase Edmonds is phenomenal.
All right, so Chase Edmonds from Fordham University. I got to look him up. I got to Google him.
Write it down.
Here you go. We come back, Rotation Nation, Baltimore Orioles. I don't even know most of these dudes, so we'll see what Matt Medica, the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. Shout out to Emory, good looking out for coming through with that information. That's FST Overtime right here on FNTSY.
This is Lar Michaels of CreatorSports.com and host of the Tout Wars Hour on the Fantasy Sports Network. Join Justin Mason and me at our new time, Sundays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, as we break down the fantasy games you love with the biggest names in the industry. Plus, starting with the 2018 baseball season, we'll review the Tout Wars Fab Bits live on the show, hours before your league's waiver deadline. So join Justin, Lord Zola, and special guests every Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern for the most in your fantasy sports world.
Back up and at him. FNTSY Radio. Where's Jake at? We got the all-in kid? He wasn't on the screen up here. I thought we might have lost him. Okay, we did. This would be a good time to talk a little baseball, Matt Medica. Hopefully we get... All right, we got the all-in kid back. The more the merrier. All right. Rotation Nation, something that we're going to get into. And we're going to look at these rotations, and we'll break them down for fantasy baseball purposes for you all so you'll know exactly what you're going into. We try to get through all of them by opening day. So that'd be a lot of fun.
Try to.
Yeah.
Are we doing one a day? I mean, we could do it twice around.
Well, I mean, we may not do one a day, but, you know. Sprinkling in here and there.
Okay.
The goal is to get through everything. But you never know what could happen, you know what I mean? Because you never know one day this, one day that, yada, yada, yada. Some say like news breaks or something, and we miss Rotation Nation. So, just...
Like something like with the Bills just now?
What happened with the Buffalo Bills? That's your team, Matt.
Yeah, was it like Leslie Frazier's...
I don't know, can I make a request on air behind the scenes? Can I get the music cut out of my ears, please? So I can hear you guys. What did you say, Corey?
No, I was talking about what happened with the Buffalo Bills. Breaking news?
Oh, one of their main beat reporters was saying that they're going to make an effort to trade up to number 3 to take a quarterback.
Ooh.
I would like to see that. I don't think it's going to happen, though.
What about Baker Mayfield as a Buffalo Bill?
Let's do it.
Still got music in my ears.
So as we get to all-in kids, us ears situated.
I'd be down for that. Look,
you'd be down for Baker Mayfield.
We got to do. Look, I love his game in college. I don't know if it translates or not. I hope it does. What I've read up right now, I think it's such a tough jump. I have a hard time. Like I still think Sam Darnold's going to be good. I mean, some people don't think he's going to be good anymore. So we'll see. But the Bills need to try and do something. And Tyrod Taylor, I'll give Tyrod Taylor this. I like Tyrod Taylor. He's never had weapons. The one weapon he had, they traded this summer. So in the passing game, he's never been surrounded by any weapons. So does he hold the ball too much time? Yeah, probably so. But when you don't have anybody that gets open, that's an issue too, right?
All right, Rotation Nation, Baltimore Orioles, here we go. Matt, the first person on that staff, I guess you would call him their ace, is Dylan Bundy.
Yeah,
is he their best pitcher?
For me, he is right now. I mean, Gausman, you could say with that second half, but we'll get to him next. Look, however you want. The problem was this was one of the maybe the number one touted pitcher in the minors, suffered an injury. They didn't let him throw his best pitch and all that, and now they've kind of just let him do his thing. I like to see the progression when these young pitchers don't rely on the fastball all the time when you can't just succeed on the fastball. You can have a nice big fastball and you can get by, especially like in relief and stuff. But you got to have other pitchers. And his slide piece was terrific. It created tons of swing and miss. He probably got better as the season went on. He had the he had a very low ERA to start the season, and you would see on Twitter, everybody saying, well, don't trust Dylan Bundy. Trade Dylan Bundy. His FIP, his ex-FIP. But I think his game got better as the season went on. You look down to the second half stretch, the starts he made, he was going into the sixth inning and stuff. It wasn't like, you know, he was just getting... To me, he made the progressions. There is some bad to it. He's in the Coors East at Camden Yards. Gives up a lot of fly balls. And
nothing
some
for you, anything for your fantasy team?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. He's not a foundation arm, but he's one of these arms you're going to come up with that has risk to it, you know, injury, and you're not crazy about the ballpark and stuff. But I think he can turn a profit where he's being priced.
What do you think, All-In Kid? Dylan Bundy, was he like an SP3?
I don't know. Is am I still echoing for the chat room? Because they said I'm sounding like a computerized version of myself that's echoing.
Chat not link.
No, you sound good now. I mean, at least
you sound fine to us.
No, no, no. It's not you guys. You have to listen through the video. It's when I'm coming through on the other end. Of course I sound fine to you guys. I'm always going to sound fine to you guys. We're a direct connection. So that's I'm kind of trying to delay to see if anybody responds in the chat room. All right, well, I'll just talk about Dylan Bundy in the meantime. No, I want him as SB4. I have no – I have very little interest in most of this rotation. You're talking about a 4-plus ERA, a whip that doesn't help. Bundy's might be the best, but and then you're just hoping for a little bit of strikeouts. So just, not even worth my time.
The guy that I had on my Tower Wars team last year was Kevin Gausman. I don't know if I got him in free agency or whatever.
I benched him on my AL-only team.
Over there. Unless you know where I was at. What do we think about Matt Madiga? As you know, Gausman.
He's another guy. The second half, he was a different pitcher. He really was. He's a guy using the slider and that split finger. It really changed his game. And I'm not going to go all in on Kevin Gausman this year. But I do want to have some shares of him. I play in a
Why you want some shares of him?
Because I think this is a guy. You got to look where these guys, after you get your foundation and your core arms, you're going to have to, you know, you're not going to have five Max Scherzers on your team. So we got to be real here. Guys like Danny Salazar later on, I want. Danny Salazar has outcomes of, say, being a top 10 pitcher, being in the minor leagues, or being injured. You know, so that's the realm of his thing. Kevin Gausman, he made adjustments to his game. There's different things we see here. He did it over the course of the second half. He was horrific. Like I said, I benched him in AOL only. You have to be really bad to do that.
That's not a striking endorsement, Jake, for Kevin Gausman. Maybe you can make it. Maybe you can talk nice to me.
Well, apparently I still sound like that for the YouTube people. So I'll buy you a drink. There you go.
You are the new Drake.
Nice.
I'm auto-tuned over here. So, all right. No, Gausman, look, I tried to get involved with him too. Like, oh, he could bounce back. He still has the ceiling. He still has the potential, stuff like that. But I don't think he's that much different than Bundy. And honestly, with a worse whip. So pass again. I told you this entire rotation I have no interest in.
Yeah, after these two guys, it's like...
Okay, so who is Gabriel Yona?
He's nobody. He's not a person.
Tossed around.
Yeah. Nice. He was a former Met.
Picked up, thrown in trays, yeah.
Just a guy, huh?
The Mets like sold him off.
He's a professional athlete.
Oh, no, look, hey. I'm not... We have to be... We have to be hard. We have to be critical.
All right, for our purposes, Gabriel is not going to make anybody's rosters on 2018. All right, Miguel Castro, Matt, sound like he can pitch.
Maybe Nando would be interested in him. That's more like a Nando kind of guy. I'm not. I'm going to pass on this one. You know.
That's funny.
No, but Nando has those guys. I mean, but why? Nando's got these players, you know.
Yeah.
He's been right. Jed Jerko was a thing.
That's true. Miguel Castro, all in.
We're going to get credit for his one guy.
he
took some guys last year. It worked. Byron Buxton, he was loving last year.
Miguel Castro, Jake, is he like, is nothing here? Nothing to see here? You're not
catcher?
I think he's a pitcher. He's a rotation nation, Baltimore Orioles.
I'm kidding. Yeah, I told you. Look, the first thing, like, first of all, Bundy and Gausman are the only two you should even care about, and that's late in drafts, and that's if you want to play the matchups and go for the strikeouts. Everybody else doesn't matter.
Does Mike Wright? There's another dude that's projected to be in our rotation. Jake. Nothing.
Knuckler. No.
Oh, he's a knuckleballer.
Yeah. No.
Knuckleballers normally don't do good for fantasy, right?
I mean, it's more like Tim Wakefield with Boston. You could pitch forever, pretty much.
Yeah.
If you have a good knuckler.
Yeah. But. Like Sandy Koufax?
No, Sandy Koufax wasn't throwing the knuckle.
Well, he pitched for a long time, Dickie. Right?
No, he didn't pitch for a short time.
Who was the dude that in the Negro Leagues that pitched for all the many years?
Oh, Satchel Paige?
Satchel Paige. They said Satchel Paige was pitching when he was in his 60s.
He had a great quote. You'll never, you'll never know how old you are if you don't know when your birthday is or something like that. It really is true. I mean, mentally, you would think differently.
That makes sense. You know, that does make sense. Satchel Paige. They said Satchel
Paige. Sounds like a Yogi Berraism.
Yeah, that does sound like a Yogi Berraism. That's a good one. Brad Brock is this team's closer, right, Madika?
Yeah, he's their closer for now. I think they're going to look to, you know, build him up, get some saves, and hopefully try to move him. He was very good in the first half. He was terrible in the second half.
Nice. So, Jake, is he good? Is
that's what you have to worry about, too.
Is what?
What Matt said is what you him getting traded. That's what you worry about, and then he gets traded, and he becomes a setup guy. That's what you worry about. So, and all the things Matt said, though, you did. He faded down the stretch. So I think he bounces back, and I think he'll be very nice for the first half of the season. But does he stay closer for the entire year? I think that you should project him probably in the mid-20s for saves.
Would you say that's about correct? Because you see, what you can do is you can bank those 20 and then worry about the rest of them when you have to cross that bridge when you get there.
Yeah, look, if you waited on saves, you need to get him. I mean, what's his name? He's not coming back anytime soon.
Who is that?
Their closer. Slipping my mind right here.
Oh, the dude that got hurt last year.
And then he got hurt now. He blew out his knee or whatever.
That's right. Remember they brought him back.
Jack Britton.
Jack Britton is his name. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Sutton.
It's a shame because Zach Britton should have been traded last year. And then he got hurt and all that. So, you know, Baltimore, it's just not a good organization.
So do they have like an in-waiting closer that you can speculate
Michael
on in Baltimore?
Michael Givens would be the guy,
from
I would
Belle
say.
Biv DeVoe? Oh, that's Michael Bivens, my bad.
Yeah, yeah. Michael Givens would he'd be the speculative guy that
But you're not concerned about O'Day getting mixed in with him?
Nah, I think O'Day's a guy that will get a couple saves here or there, but I don't think he's a guy they're gonna just give the closer job and say run with it.
Yes, sir. Yeah. See, Corey, this is why you need to come play in the 350 league this year.
Which 350 league? Which one is that?
That's the one that I do. That's the one that I got Nando coming to, Meanie, Joe. Matt, you can come too. I'm doing an expert one this year for the first time ever. It's this home league that I've been doing for a bunch of years. It's 350. You play three sets of 50 days worth of baseball, and you get 10 keepers rolled over every single one.
Sounds interesting.
It does sound interesting.
It's terrific.
Right.
And it's over at the end of August. It's over. Focus on football.
And you get that done right then. We come back on the other side. What we got? Oh, it's a little bit of ADP test. It's FSTOT right here on the network.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Tip, motivation, TI Thursday right here, FST Overtime. I gotta find these ADPs that Matt Madika sent me yesterday. We'll do a little ADP desk.
Oh, the current NFBC?
Yes.
Yep. Hey, you send those my way, Matt, please?
Sure. 1 second.
So
I actually have an ADP article coming up, and those would help tremendously.
There you go right there. Each one teach one. You know what I'm saying? We got to help.
Well, I just wish...
little Buddha over there?
This is what we're here for.
I just wish you were able to see them without being in one.
I think you can see them now. I thought that's what they would do. I thought they were making them public.
They're still last year. I don't think they've still updated for this year yet.
If you go to playnfbc.com, I think they made them open to everyone.
Really?
Yeah, I'll check.
I look for that too, because I had you send me these joints over here yesterday.
Yeah, I want to give Jake updated ones, though. You want them for like the last couple of weeks, and I don't think you really want them.
Yeah, yeah, like last 3 weeks or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
So there you go. All in, kid. You're getting some all in updated ADPs. Matt Madika, give me a number from 140 to 150.
144.
Oh my goodness! It's Trevor Bauer. We already talked about Trevor Bauer yesterday.
So, give it
so go over under that.
All right, so let's go. You want to go 145 or 143?
143.
143 is Lance McCullers. Houston Astros pitcher Lance McCullers is 143 is what his current ADP is. Matt, what do you think of McCullers, and what do you think of that draft spot?
Look, the draft spot's pretty much based on his potential, and his potential is one of the, could be, if he ever stayed healthy, which I still don't think he can. He's never reached 150 innings. But he has that upside, which is tantalizing to everybody. I will want to own, I already have like one or two, and I'm not going to go crazy on McCullers. That's like it. Like, say I just did six leagues, I'd want like one or two McCullers. I can't take him in every one. There's other guys around him, I believe, that I'm going to want as well. So I want to spread that risk around. But you have to take some of these upside arms, because if they hit, it's going to pay a tremendous profit.
You into upside arms, Jake? And is Lance McCullers one of those upside arms for you?
Yes, and not really. I was on McCullers last year, but not so much this year. I think that, as Matt said, the price, that seems like a fair price, but not one that I'm really too excited to pay, because the biggest thing with McCullers is the whip. It puts too many guys on base, and I think that if you look at the fact that even if he stays healthy, okay, now what are you getting, 170, maybe 180 strikeouts? So he's kind of like a 2.5 category starter, and that's why, because I'm counting the wins there. So you're getting wins in the ERA, you're getting probably the strikeout, so maybe three. But I think that his price, I could see him with on my team, but I'm not going to be upset if I miss him.
Yeah, the problem, this is a big year for him, I think, because if he doesn't get it done this year, like in the rotation, I think he might, you know, at least with the Astros, he's going to become like one of those dominant 7th, 8th inning guys, those 2-inning relievers.
Oh,
you
okay.
See.
Put him in that role. That does nothing for us.
Now they got Cole. They got probably the best arm in the minors as far as Whitley coming up. And the GM said they're going to, you know, not invite him to camp so they can keep him locked and loaded for maybe mid-season. And you got Charlie Morton. You got Colin McHugh, possibly. Brad Peacock was pretty damn impressive once he joined the rotation last year, too. So Houston is just loaded on so many levels.
All right, Jake, give me a number 150 to 160.
150 to 160?
Yeah.
I'll go 1 plus Lawrence Taylor.
Ah. All right, 154 is a New York Met. Look at that.
56.
Oh, Lawrence Taylor is number 56. So 157.
Come on, man.
Oh, 157 is an interesting dude. He was on my Tout Wars team last year. John Gray, the pitcher for the Colorado Rockies. What do you think about him, Jake?
First. Oh, you're talking to me first?
Yeah, I'm going.
I don't know if you're going to Matt first again.
Go to you first on this one, Jake, if that's okay.
John Gray's fine. Look, you get all the numbers and like, oh, look at how good he can be on the road and look at all his potential and stuff like that. And then, oh, look what happens at home. And actually, he's bucked that trend at times about being at home. And actually, he's had gone through some stretches where he's pitched better at home. The whole problem is he's still in Colorado for part of the start. You still have to worry about that at times. I like John Gray. I've always been a fan of John Gray. I would love to get him off that team. But at the same time, I think if you look at it, he's actually in that Lance McCullers conversation for me.
That's why the ADPs are so close together.
Yeah, these are arms. Look, I like him. I think if his problem, he's – look, Colorado is frightening. But the problem here is, too, is if he pitches better on the road, maybe in his third season – things can get a lot better. If he can correct his road issues, maybe he's whatever he's doing out there on the road. I don't know. Young kid. I might be doing some things as well.
Yeah, especially you got all that money. All right, Matt, give me a number between 95 and 105.
95 and 105, 103.
All right, 103 is Rougned Odor, second baseman for the Texas Rangers. They talked about him on, they did an hour on him on the BFFs yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
They did an hour on son. Oh, yeah, 2 days ago, the BFF did an hour on Rougned Odor. Odor's son that got punched in the face by Jose Bautista.
No, he punched.
Oh, yeah, so that son that rocked Jose Bautista.
He did that same kind of thing in the minors previously.
I heard about that.
Yeah, he's no joke. I respect him for that.
He said he put a left hand on Jose Bautista.
He's like,
Bautista stumbled, and he would have dropped if the dude didn't run into him. But we're not here to talk about his right hand. We're here to talk about what he could
do. Not Rug.
Rugnet Odor?
Yeah, Rugi.
Rugnet Odor. That's better. Rugnet Odor, Matt Modica. 103 is his ADP, second baseman for the Houston.
He's not going to bat
for the Texas Rangers.
I don't think he's going to bat when he hit last year. That's his downside. But I don't think his upside in batting average is really appealing to me. He's young. I think he'll be 24 this year. So in that aspect, maybe it's not a batted ball profile that I'm into, especially in this day and age of power. But you could give me the flip side. He's 24. He's hitting 30 home runs as a 22 and a 23-year-old. At that price, I'm going to go other ways.
At that price, Matt Modica will go other way. All-in kid, Jake Seeley. Florio seemed like he was in love with him when we was watching the BFF show, if I believe that.
No, Florio's the opposite.
Florio is the one that don't like him. Florio don't like nobody, though. Don't like nobody. Florio killed that fish.
No, this is funny.
He killed that fish we had in here.
Look, I think this is the first one we disagree a little bit on. I'm going the other way. The fact is Odor wasn't healthy for most of last year, and I think that's the big reason we saw the dip. The one thing, the concern, and I will agree with this part, and this is what Florio kept going on and on about, is Odor's numbers versus left-handed pitching are abysmal. I mean, among the worst. I think he said he was the lowest qualified when it came to average against lefties in the league. So, or is the second lowest or the lowest. So that's definitely concerning, and I don't think he's going to be platoon because you look behind him and nobody has this talent. Nobody's going to be a real threat to say, oh, my God, all of a sudden Odor's in a platoon situation. But even if he stays at that level, again, I'm looking at last year, and I'm looking at the year before, and I'm looking at the fact that, he wasn't healthy for a good 4 months of the year. He's already mentioned that, and that he's back to in the shape or being 100% this offseason. So I'm back in. I am in on Odor. I understand the price is a little much. I think it could definitely get to the point where it is too high, where it is right now. I don't have a problem with it. If it jumps another round, then I'll be with Matt. I'll jump off board.
I want to find Florio's Twitter, because there are people in the chat telling me to check out Florio's Twitter that he has. This is Michael Florio.
Jake, I'm going to send you this ADP. I don't know how it comes out, but Corey can forward you. I'll forward you the one I forward Corey as well. This is from like January 25th.
Cool. Thank you.
It's Florio's on here. I always look for changes, players that lead to production spikes. This article on Luis Castillo incorporating a sinker has me excited. So Florio's on Luis Castillo because he incorporated a sinker.
Yeah, he's jumping on my bandwagon.
Florio's.
In all fairness, this is nothing that's if you did any research on Castillo, the changeup. Look, he wasn't throwing all these ground balls. He got a ton of swing and miss. So, look, good job by Florio. Good job by Jake. But, Castillo's...
That's right. A lot of people are on.
Yeah, I mean, Castillo's a kid. I got him on a couple teams. Yeah, I got him and Garrett Cole, my 1-2 in a couple of leagues. And I like him, too, like everybody else. But there is risk here, too. I like the fact that he pitched, with 170-something innings last year when you combine both. Yep. But, this isn't a guarantee. This isn't, a back of the baseball card proven player.
Matt, I jumped on him in the 8th round in the mock. Too early?
No, if you want him, I'm doing 15-team leagues. You pretty much, if you want him, you got to go sixth round. In the NFBC, you got to get him in the 6th round.
Really?
I went one league where, this was early, this was before Cole got traded to the Astros, and I was drafting him. I knew he was getting traded, but I didn't know it was going to be Astros for sure. But I did one league where I took Castillo in the 6th and Cole in the 7th because I knew Cole would be there. I had a good chance of getting him on the wraparound thing. But Castillo, Luke Weaver's in the 6th round too. This really not pitching. This really not pitching.
All the pitching is at the top. It's top heavy?
Well, you got 4 in the 1st round. There's not going to be more than those 4. Those are the first 4. But, I believe in Aaron Nola this year. So I'm willing to stop my rotation with an Aaron Nola.
All right, cool. Got 90 seconds left. I don't want to get into another player evaluation. Come back on the other side. We'll talk about Daryl Dawkins, Chocolate Thunder. So that'll be fun.
That will be fun.
February. So there you go with that right there. I think later on.
Pick a few more people like that maybe weren't, 75 years old when I was 10.
Jake, I'm trying to figure it out. I don't want to do the same people all the time. I don't want to do Jackie Robinson. I don't want to do Muhammad Ali. I want to mix in some, different people. I would do Colin Kaepernick. That's that day right there. I'm quite sure my Twitter will be amazing that day. So I'm going to have to lay off of that one. It's Darryl. But Darryl Dawkins is cool. We learned about Darryl Dawkins in a little bit.
I learned something right now, this morning.
You learned something about Darryl Dawkins this morning. So we'll find out some more stuff about Darryl Dawkins, then we'll get ready to shut it down. And then do the Roto Experts podcast. I got to run. I'm not going to be able to join them on it today. I got to run. So y'all still hold it down, though. I'm quite sure everybody will do good. And y'all had to be fun. It'll be Jake and Matt and Greggy will come back up. He, you know, he's Mr. Sussman doing FST. He's Greggy in the afternoon because he's like teacher's lounge Greggy. So there you go right there. FST overtime right here on FMTS. When we come back, we'll tell you about Darryl Dawkins.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money and lots of it by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Final five of the program. Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NHL and NBA free rolls every week. Free entry, simply sign up and enter fantasyfactor.com. That's Fantasy Factor, NHL and NBA free rolls every week. fantasyfactor.com. Get involved. Profiling Black History today is Darryl Dawkins. Darryl Dawkins was an American professional basketball player. Most known for his days with the Philadelphia 76ers and the New Jersey Nets. His nickname was Chocolate Thunder. He was known for his powerful dunks, which led to the NBA adopting breakaway rims due to maintain him from shattering backboards, as he did in two occasions on 1979. Chocolate Thunder was breaking backboards, Mac Madica.
Yeah, I mean, I always knew his nickname was Chocolate Thunder. I never knew, supposedly, that Stevie Wonder was the one that bestowed that upon him.
Yes.
As a nickname. That I found interesting. And it's nice to be honoring Chocolate Thunder posthumously.
Yes, we're honoring Chocolate Thunder posthumously. Don't do that.
Posthumously. Well, I wanted to say it. I can say it now.
Posthumously. There you go right there.
There you go. All
right, That was pretty good that time. He's from Orlando. Chocolate Thunder's from Orlando, Florida. He was born in 1957. He passed away at age 58. He's a young man in 2015. 6 feet tall, 11 inches. He's a big, big dude. He went to Maynard Evans High School in Orlando, Florida. I'm not sure if anybody else famous is from that high school or not. Who is from Orlando? Vince Carter's from Orlando. I'm not sure what school. But, oh, you know what? We'll do Vince Carter next week. How about that?
But you want to, like...
I can do that one.
Oh, Amari Stoudemire is from Maynard Evans High, from that high school?
He died in 2015. What month?
He died in August 2015.
He died in August 2015, and Moses Malone died September 2015.
Look at that.
Those guys, to me, like, growing up were, like, kind of linked to him.
Yeah. All right, cool. That's what's up. He went to. That's interesting stuff.
Corey, Ron said you should just stick to saying after he died.
Instead of posthumously. All right, what else do we have? He was a center. Obviously,
I found out he had another nickname.
What was it?
The Zandokin, the Mad Dunker.
Oh, Zandokin, the Mad Dunker. Where'd that one come from? Because he played a lot overseas.
I don't know. It's on Basketball Reference. Chocolate Thunder, Double D, Doc, Doctor. Dunk, Sir Slam, and then Zandokin, the Mad Dunker.
I knew they used to call him Double D for Darryl Dawkins. I remember that.
I like Sir Slam, though.
That is a cool one, too. Made his bones, was a member of the Philadelphia 76ers and the New Jersey Nets. He also played for the Utah Jazz and the Detroit Pistons. Then he played for a whole bunch of teams I never heard of before. The Aluxum, Torino, Olympia, Phillips, Milano. That sounds like an Italian team.
No, it's a cookie.
Yeah, I think he was playing in like Greece, Italy. Yeah. He did the European tour.
Libertas Forley. The Harlem Globetrotters. So he came back uptown where it all started. He played for Sioux Falls Skyforce. That's like a this dude played from 1975
I wonder if Sussman's going to be checking out the NBA out in Europe.
There you go, when he's out there. He played from 1975 to 2000, his last team being the Winnipeg Cyclone. He probably was a novelty act by that point. So his career in NBA history, he averaged 12 points a game, 6 rebounds and a block shot, over 8,000 career NBA points in the NBA, over 4,000 rebounds. I do not believe he was ever like an all-star, nothing like that. He just was a good dunker, to be honest with you. That's kind of all he was able to do. He was able to dunk very powerful and break the backboards, and that's why kids liked him, and that's what made him popular, and that's what made him hanging around and play ball professionally for 25 years. But, you know, he's not going to be in the Hall of Fame, whatever. So shout out to Daryl Dawkins since he's passed away. So that's our profile on Black History today. Daryl Dawkins. You said a good one. What did we say? Oh, Vince Carter. Well, next week we'll get Vince Carter involved. And just tweet me at Fantasy Exec, whoever else you want to know about. We'll bring him on.
Vince Carter in year 26 of his career.
Yes, Vince Carter's played just as, must be good water down there in Orlando, because you can play pro ball for 25 years. That's FST Overtime. Stick around. Roto-Rex Podcast coming up. Exec out.